Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jackie Cooper, Global Chief Brand Officer and Senior Advisor at Edelman. Welcome to a special series of The Trustmakers. We're recording on the ground in the sun at the 2023 Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity. Over the next few days, I'll be speaking with marketing professionals about this year's festival and gather their insights on Edelman's seventh annual report on brand trust, the collapse of the purchase funnel. And today, I'm so happy to be joined by Grace Cowell, Global Head of Advertising Business Marketing at Spotify. We're in the Spotify studio. It's beautifully cool.
We're so happy to host you.
And Grace, you've actually got 2 decades of experience in marketing and advertising.
I can't believe it. 2 decades. My goodness, where has the time gone?
In your current role, you're helping brands around the world connect with Spotify's listeners in meaningful ways. We're going to talk a little about that. And all I have to say now is welcome. Welcome to the Trustmakers.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Love being here.
This is the first day of the Cannes Lions. Obviously, we're just getting into it. It's always a very intense week. It may be too early for you to kind of know exactly, but when you come here, what sort of kind of conversations are you hoping to have? And what kind of experiences are you kind of seeking out, especially?
Sometimes I think that we forget that Cannes is actually at the core a celebration of creativity. And so I'm hoping most of my conversations are about creativity. And I hope I actually have time to go to the Palais and take a look at all of the work that's winning. It's funny because there's wonderful creativity that's happening in the Palais and what's winning. But I also, of course, walking down the beach, love taking a look at the creativity that's happening on the beach and just seeing the industry come together as well in different activations. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to when we think about creativity, how do we bring innovation to creativity? How do we, again, as an industry, push each other in a nice way, in a competitively nice way, of bringing new ideas to our shared consumers?
I love that. I love that actually Cannes does that. It's a strange kind of frenemy situation, isn't it? It's like you let the guard down because we were all looking for the inspiration, and then you leave and you go back to work and trying to do the best work you possibly can. But you know, the guards are a little bit down, aren't they, in this pursuit of sharing gorgeous stories and breakthrough creativity.
Because Cannes is a competition, right? And I think that's kind of where healthy competition does come into play of like, oh my goodness, I was so inspired by that. How can we one-up that? How can we also raise the bar?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we get caught up in so much of the meetings at Cannes. It's like, oh, we actually, this is about creativity.
Absolutely right. Looking at what you've done, you've held marketing positions at a number of popular technology and social media brands. In your current role at Spotify, you help brands connect with the listeners. You had this great quote that I read. I hope you did say it, but it was attributed to you. The power of voice drives urgency and engagement. Is that your quote?
That is.
I love that. What did you mean by that?
When you think about voice, the literal sense of voice, there's nothing more personal than voice, right? There's no two voices in the world that are the same. And so when you think about the audio format and you think about the fact that we're in a podcast now, you are literally in somebody's ear, and having that voice and that personal connection with someone drives urgency and intimacy like no other format.
And so coming from all the tech roles that you've had now into this space, would you say that sort of marketing in this space is particularly unique? How does it compare to other tech spaces? And how have you sort of seen that change over the last decade?
Oh, yeah. It's been fun. I think what's really super fun about working at Spotify and the platform that we have is that music has been a timeless, pervasive way of how people connect, express themselves, how they connect with other people, how they connect with their inner self. I would say music has been a place for how they energize themselves versus even feel inspired, and how people feel good about themselves. And you look at maybe perhaps other tech platforms that might be draining for people. I think I pride myself working at Spotify that we actually make people feel good and energize. So I think that's been something that has been growing actually through the past decade and continues to grow. I think the other thing we've seen is the rise of podcasts. So where consumers have gone to other traditional forms to find news or sports or for education, what we're seeing now, another trend, is that podcasts is where people go for sources of truth, of how to learn things, how to get inspired, again, how they connect with other people, how they entertain themselves, from sports to humor. So I think that's another big trend we've seen in the past decade as well.
It's amazing, because no one would have said 10 years ago that podcasts would have, I don't think that was actually foreseen.
Was there a live podcast studio at Cannes 10 years ago? I don't think so either.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So while we were prepping for this, we were talking about our new report that I referenced in the introduction. A major finding in that Edelman Trust Barometer report for the brand space this week is that the traditional purchase funnel, which most marketers understandably have based their work on for decades, has collapsed. That's quite a big sentence to say. What we see in the data, that there is a sort of this ongoing relationship loop, we've called it this loop, that goes on between consumers and brands, because we find that our research shows that consumers want to engage with brands beyond that moment of purchase. So the funnel used to be that the end aim was that purchase, hurrah, job done. And that absolutely isn't the case anymore. We see that actually consumers want to engage after the purchase. And so how do you think brands should think about building a relationship? Because I think with Spotify, it's such a great example of having a relationship that kind of becomes part of your life and your go-to space. How do you, as a marketeer, help brands understand that relationship? And how can you have that relationship and interaction rather than just that funnel mentality?
Yeah. Jackie, now I'm going to quote you, because the Trust report, this latest one, is excellent. And there's a quote in there that said, "The purchase is just the beginning." And I think that summed it up really well, in the sense that, one, I would say consumers now, when they purchase something, it isn't just a value exchange, right? It is an investment in your brand. And I think that's the way I would say that brands need to start thinking about that, is that every dollar a consumer spends, or every minute they spend with you, it's an investment in your brand. And so as a brand, how do you think about that and value every interaction as someone investing in you so much more than perhaps a purchase? And I think that's when we talk about the purchase funnel collapsing, I think that's an opportunity, right? Because if you think about every interaction being truly someone who wants to hear from you, wants to connect with you, what a great opportunity for a brand to think of new experiences each time they have that interaction.
You see, you've got this great attitude that it's an opportunity, but we know from some of the research that we've done that some CMOs see that as daunting, because they see that as being exposed, that they have to have ongoing interaction. What advice would you give them in terms of seeing it as an opportunity rather than something to be wary of?
I would say flip it. It's so efficient, right? Where when we had the funnel in the past, you would have to think about different messages or different assets or different channels to do different jobs. When right now, because it is collapsed, that your consumer, when having a commerce moment with you, is actually looking for a brand experience. And in the past, where perhaps you're creating a brand experience, you have a great commerce opportunity because your consumer is actually wanting one with you too. And so I would say, it instead of thinking of it daunting and having to do more, I actually think it's actually a really wonderful, efficient way to engage with your consumer, and knowing that your consumer is wanting that and expecting that from you. So there's actually no turning back.
I think it's really interesting also that this explosion of audio has been so quick and so extensive. Do you think that there's something about a voice that helps you have those relationships because it is more trusted? We're calling the podcast The Trust Makers, and obviously we're interested because we know that when consumers trust, you get the advocacy and you get the purchase. What's your experience with that voice of trust in your ear? You mentioned about where you've got the voice in your ear. Do you think that this is a natural space then for interaction? And how do you keep it fresh? Because there's a myriad of things you can do, but how do you keep it fresh, and how do you know what to do? How do you strike the balance?
Yeah, I would say, one, you're right. In the podcast format, it's intrinsically just more intimate and much more natural, right? And I do think that when it comes to audio, because a person is leaning on their ears, I think there's a formative way the person leans in more to use their imagination. And so again, when you're listening, you feel like that person is talking to you. Now, to answer your question on how to keep it fresh or knowing what to do, I would say partner with creators, right? And when you look at creators and the creators that have been succeeding in the space, and they know that they have an audience and they are trying to build a personal connection. And so I would say to brands, if you aren't already, you should definitely partner with creators. You should trust them. You should trust that they know their audiences. And then they may bring things to your brand that you perhaps haven't seen because they actually represent the people that you're trying to connect with. So we love working with creators, and I would say brands, I think you would too.
100%. And I think you make such a valid point about the creators and how they represent their communities. The most important thing to build trust is relevance, right? And to be representative and not look tokenistic. So we were talking a little bit about the Dove campaign that I know you're a fantastic fan of. And
huge fan.
Great. Edelman's been lucky to work on that, and I've been lucky to work on that for many years. And that's a really good example of really understanding how to be relevant in culture. And we move on to Gen Z. Part of this report touches on the fact that it's an extraordinary rise that we see the influence. It's almost transformative that Gen Z has on all generations. We know that Gen Z is a generation unlike any other. We commissioned research last year because we wanted to answer some of the CMO's issues where they were saying, I'm wary of working with this generation because they're activist. And we thought, well, then let's look at the sort of hesitations that people have about working with Gen Z and see if we can debunk some of those myths. So one of the major ones was, no, they're not activists, but they are looking for action.
Yes.
And they don't want to cancel you, but they do want you to be accountable.
Yes.
And so this research was very sort of reassuring, and we continued the strand of Gen Z studying with all of our data and all of our studies. But what's really interesting is that that's beyond the Gen Z generation now. This Gen Z influences
right.
across all, which is so kind of on point for the Spotify feel, I feel, and
yes.
the Spotify experience. And they, of course, push us. They push us on expectations generally. They want us to be more diverse. They want us to be more environmentally friendly. They want brands to basically walk the walk. It's not enough to talk
yes.
anymore. How do you manage that? You're talking about talking with creators. A lot of them are Gen Z. How do you manage the sort of push of what they want to see
yes.
and the brand protection and equity that you want to project?
Yeah. No, we've seen that as well. In our studies of Gen Z and our audiences, where that truly is the expectation. One way to look at it is that, at least the way we look at it at Spotify, is that when you think about fans, you think about creators, when you think about brands, it is a community. It is an ecosystem. It is a community. So the fact that brands and your fans are active participants, or creators are active participants, know that brands, you are an active participant in this community and in this conversation. And so your fear of being canceled, just so you know, when you're silent, it can equally also create a negative effect, because there is an expectation for you to participate in this conversation with creators and the fans themselves. So knowing that, you should just embrace it. Now, or when I think about brands, so much of building a brand is about your values. So you have them there. You just have to transform your values into behaviors. And so it isn't just messages and brand beliefs, but turning that into brand behaviors. And I think that will make hopefully a lot of brand leaders out there realize that this is so good, because it actually is building equity with the community that you've been trying to build. And you've seen so many great brands do that, like the Real Beauty Dove campaign that we just talked about.
It's amazing, because Rich Lederman and I were saying literally an hour ago, up the road from the studio, that we used to talk about belief-driven buying.
Yes.
And now we have to talk about belief-driven action.
Yes.
And you just kind of encapsulated that. So this move, you know, if you think about where that sort of purposeful messaging used to live, it was in the advertising space, but it didn't come away from the sort of creative space into
That's right.
the real world, into helping people take commission or take a belief or take a value and pick their brands accordingly.
Yeah. If someone is going to spend time with you, if someone is going to spend money with you, we should honor that. and understand the values and the beliefs of the people that we're trying to connect with. And what a great way to build a longer-term relationship with your consumers by having shared values, which as brand leaders we talk about all the time.
Not all marketeers do talk about that, actually.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting thing that sometimes we think about the product benefits first and try and persuade the consumers of the product benefits. And then that's sort of got to be a little bit halted and said, hang on a minute, where's it going? Mm-hmm. And you make a really interesting point about stand for something. Mm-hmm. Like, better to stand for something than stand for nothing. And our Gen Z data definitely shows that if you stand for nothing, it is as if you're not engaged and you're
that's
not bothered
right.
at all. Yeah. So what about the risk of that? How do you sort of manage risk versus opportunity when you stand for things?
I would say because there's risk in not standing for anything. And I think that is maybe where some marketers, their fear of taking risks is actually the biggest risk ever. And so just know your consumers or your fan base is waiting for you. They're literally waiting to see what you do, how you behave, and when you don't, well, again, just know that they're expecting, they're waiting for you.
And how do you manage anything that is not welcomed by that audience? So if you go out and you find something, because at least it's actually tangible, and as you said, it stands for something, so you've got it there. And what happens if the people who you put it out to with the ones that don't like it?
Yeah. I think this is where, one, have that self-awareness and being authentic, because that's something us brand leaders should filter from begin with. Like, do we really believe in this? Mm-hmm. And does it truly stand for, and does our product actually live up to that brand promise? So I think for that amount of self-awareness from beginning is key. And the second thing that I mentioned is just who you partner with as well. I think they are also good partners to push against the authenticity of it. And I think that's where, again, brands do not feel like you should do it alone. You should partner with others as well. Again, you're part of a community and not think it's only one way. And it's like, oh, we're gonna do this by ourselves. And I think that's often the trap of versus, no, we should get insight. We should get feedback. We should look at partners. We should look at creators. And I think, to me, I've seen that approach work so much better for brands.
Yeah, it's a really good protection as well, because you know you're going to be right.
Yeah, and to your point of when you're wrong, which sometimes it will be, own it, be accountable, and change. Yeah.
With Spotify Advertising, you conduct an annual report on Gen Z called Culture Next that explores how they use audio in their lives. Can you tell us a little bit about what did that report find and how are you using it to inform campaigns which are aimed at Gen Z, or do you use it just generally beyond Gen Z?
Oh, I think we use it for many, many different things. I think we use it to understand the audience of Gen Z. I think what we also use is identify trends that we think brands should look at. And I am a marketer myself, and I use it for myself of how to inform the things that we want to do from Spotify as well. But some things that what I see is that might be helpful for here is well-being truly is a trend. And how do we look at creating brand experiences that make people feel good versus add on extra stress? And so I think that was something that we had seen, is that well-being and stress is actually something to be conscious of on Gen Z. And so understanding that is top of mind for them. And again, how can we continue to bring experiences to relieve that? I think the second thing that we saw, which I mentioned earlier, is that for Gen Z, their source of truth is actually podcasts. They actually believe podcasts and what they hear from podcasts more than ever, because it is an authentic, more intimate interaction that they have, or engagement that they have. So whether, again, it's news or sports or humor or education, there's a huge opportunity in podcasts in developing that intimate relationship and understanding that is where they go for their source of truth. And I think where I also saw that was interesting that you alluded to is, in many ways, Gen Z loves creators and trusts creators but they also see themselves as creators of culture themselves. And so when you think about it that way, that your consumer and your fans are activists and see themselves as not just consumers of culture, but creators of culture, again, there's a huge opportunity to connect with them, knowing that they see themselves as creators as well.
I love that. And you're talking about, like, embrace it to get the engagement, to get the trust, rather than being scared of it, because that's 100% how you're not going to get the engagement and not get the trust.
Yeah. And I love it. We're in this backdrop of Cannes, and how we even started off this conversation is think about the creative opportunities that come with that from a brand perspective.
It's going to be very interesting as the awards roll out during the week, if the work looks different, because the world has been so different in the last couple of years. I think Cannes last year was a little bit muted. It feels like it's come back on all levels this year, it seems. More people, more events, more everything. Do you go to the awards? Do you watch the awards?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. And I love hearing not only the interesting panels and the guest speakers, but I also love hearing about the case studies and just how, when I've seen the work, and Jackie, I love to hear your take, it's always like, how did you sell that in? Yes. And just hearing the story of that, I'm always excited to hear from peers.
The creativity is there, and then it just doesn't get out to the world. Yeah. So I think everyone feels so validated and vindicated when it actually gets out. And then if you get awarded, well, I mean, the likelihood of being awarded is such a difficult thing to get awarded. So we're really happy so far. We've been shortlisted for a lot of campaigns for the last few days.
Congratulations!
And this is only our 2015 we came. So it's our eighth year. So we were relatively new as a PR and comms firm to be in this space. And so now we have that formal creative offering, and we're understanding more how to celebrate the work and be inspirational and be that creative kind of source for our agencies, not just amplifying other people's work, which is exciting for us.
Jackie, you asked me this question. I was going to ask you, what are you looking forward to this week?
Yeah, I really related to what you said, because it's very nice to come out of your work and look at other people's work. Mm-hmm. And I actually love being in the theatre and seeing people get awarded, because it's just joy, isn't it? It's complete joy and complete validation, and that industry endorsement that you've actually got it out and it's impacted the world. So I'm afraid we've run out of time. That's all the time we have for today. Grace, thank you. Thank you for sharing your insights and expertise, and to our listeners, thank you for listening to The Trustmaker.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.